This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi, this is Clinton VK6FCRC and welcome to News West for the 15th of October 2023. Now with the show.
Hi, I'm Steve VK6SJ with this week's episode of Did You Know? Last week we looked at how a simulcast system with multi-sites on a single frequency pair work from a base transmission perspective. Key principle was how we align all transmitters such that any station receiving that signal will receive any signals at a similar signal level in phase, hence negating interference at the receiver. One thing we didn't touch on was the difference between analog and digital modes of transmission. If we use analog FM for transmission, we can only rely on the accuracy of transmission and tailoring of coverage to negate interference. Most digital protocols also have mechanisms to combat bit error rate caused loss, and bit error rate is the first symptom of a less than simulcast reception. This means that most digital modes of transmission will produce a more robust network than any analog system. Now that P25 networks in Australia have been used in public safety for a few decades, we're starting to see older generation P25 repeaters on the market at reasonable prices, and mobile radios as well. And I know there are a couple of repeaters or beacons in Perth capable of using P25 already. This would need to be weighed against the fact that almost every ham in Perth has an analog radio capable of being used in a 70 centimetre band. It may be that it's worth putting up with a slightly less robust network in exchange for a greater percentage of the community having access to it. Next issue in a network like this is that it's not just the transmitters that need to be in sync. The audio being rebroadcast from every site must also be presented to the network in sync. This means that the backhaul network used to bring audio paths together needs to be highly reliable and with latencies in the order of 20 microseconds or so. This pretty much precludes the use of the internet as a reliable medium. The strength of the internet is that it's a large mesh network, but this also means that the latency is highly variable due to the path being taken also being variable. The fact that we're exploring a network that is made up of lots of small coverage microcells also means that using dedicated links between sites is also quite feasible. We could also look at possibly using other networks around, such as or similar to Freenet. Not sure if that's still a thing, but I'm sure you get my drift. A simple Wi-Fi point-to-point or mesh network would work well for this application, providing the links are planned well and it isn't riding on the cusp of its coverage, which will also generate latency. Now, what about the receive end of the network? We need a means of picking only the best received signal and then presenting that to all base stations for retransmission. Two ways of doing this. We could use a central voting arbitrator. This would only work for an analog network and also needs to be as quick as the latency to be useful. This also means that we need to get that audio back to a central point, which could also be problematic. The other way of managing this is to use a digital backhaul with distributed voting, i.e. with no central voter. Each site can then send an RSSI measurement with each packet, and all sites can choose the packet with the highest RSSI and only retransmit those packets. The downside to this is that with no standard for this style of backhaul, we either need to settle on a single brand of repeater, or as a community we develop our own protocol, loaded into a box that each repeater uses. We could also potentially use a combination of both, with the network starting with a common repeater, while a separate box is designed in the background and the network being able to migrate to a more open protocol at a later stage. There are plenty of examples of hams working together to produce a new mode of communication protocol as a collaborative effort, like FT8, for instance. And to be honest, I think Perth could use a project like this to bring the community closer together. So what brands could we use to look at to start a project like this? First one that comes to mind for me is Motorola. I suspect there are a few hams in the community who might see the first generation of Motorola P25 repeaters being shipped off to the dump with a hammer embedded in them. I think there have been quite a few radio network refresh projects within the public safety space over the past 5 to 10 years. The network that sparked my interest in this about 10 years ago was built in exactly this way. Another option is RF technology Eclipse 2, which are in use already in a couple of repeaters in Perth, and at least one government department is using them, and I've already seen and purchased a few at auction here in Perth. These actually are very well suited to the application as they can be connected in a completely distributed form factor out of the box, and have designed and or installed a few commercial networks using this model. I think our own local brand of transceiver from Spectra Engineering could also do a similar task. Maybe rather than looking for old stuff, we approach a manufacturer and negotiate a price for a common model of radio that just does the job. To fund it, look at crowdfunding options, or clubs could look at grant options from places like Lotto and the big property developers and the like. Crowdfunding means that a commuter might drop in a few dollars into potential sites along the route to work. You get 50 people doing the same thing and you can build a repeater. So, interesting concept. Why not bring it up at your next club meeting for discussion? Get your club management to start engaging with other clubs. See if you can design a small network within your club membership and start experimenting with the concept. Start with just getting two transmitters in sync and move forward from there. The fun is actually as much in the journey as it is in the use of the end product. Well, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
In Western Australia and beyond, News West is available on air, online and on demand. Visit our website, vk6.net, to find out how. This is VK6 Amateur Radio News.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Recently, I explained some of the reasons why I've shifted to using DBM to discuss power. You might recall that 1 watt is defined as 1,000 milliwatts, and that's represented by 30 dBm. 10 watts is 40 dBm, 400 watts, the maximum power output in Australia, is 56 dBm, and 1,500 watts, the maximum in the USA, is just under 62 dBm. My favourite power level, 5 watts, is 37 dBm. I mentioned that using DBM allows us to create a continuous scale between the transmitted power and the received signal. On HF, an S9 report is defined as minus 73 dBm. Between each S point lies 6 dB, so an S8 signal is minus 79 dBm, S7 is minus 85 dBm, and so on to S0, which is minus 127 dBm. Said differently, to increase the received signal by one S point, you need to quadruple the power output. Now let's consider a contact with a 100 watt station, 50 dBm. Let's imagine that the receiver reports an S8 signal. That means that between a transmitter output of 50 dBm and a received signal at minus 79 dBm, there's a loss of 129 dB. If we dial the power down to 5 watts, our 37 dBm will be received at minus 92 dBm and earn an S6 report, which, in my experience, is pretty common. If we instead use the maximum power permitted in Australia, we'd gain 6 dB and end up at minus 73 dBm, or S9. The maximum power output permitted in the United States, 62 dBm, is only 6 dB higher, and not even enough to get you 10 over 9 at the other end. At this point, I could say, see, QRP when you care to send the very least, and be done with it. While it's true, in my not-so-humble opinion, that's not where I'm going with this. That 129 dB of loss is made up of a bunch of things. For example, there's the coax lost at either end, the antenna gain at either end, and a big one, the path loss between the two antennas. Let's assume for a moment that coax loss and antenna gain cancel each other out. You might think that's nuts, but consider that 100 metres of RG58 coax on the 10-metre band has a loss of around 8 dB, and a dipole has an isotropic gain of 2.15 dBi. In case you're not sure what that means, a dipole has a gain of 2.15 dB over the ideal radiator, a theoretical isotropic antenna, Now, it's unlikely that you're going to connect a dipole to 100 metres of RG58, so let's say a quarter, or 25 metres instead. The coax loss is also quartered, or about 2 dB, which pretty much means that your dipole gain and your coax loss essentially cancel each other out. So, as a working number, assuming both stations are similar and ignoring SWR mismatch, preamplifiers, filters and all manner of other tweaks in the signal path, 129 dB loss is a good starting point to work with. If you use a free space path loss calculator, that's the equivalent of the loss for a 2,500 km contact on HF on the 10-meter band. Now, if you were to replace the RG58 with something like RG213 coax, the loss drops from around 2 dB to 0.9 dB. So your signal just increased in strength by 1.1 dB, or not enough to make any difference in this example. Of course, there's a benefit in using lower loss coax. I mean, 1.1 dB gain isn't nothing, but it really only matters when the conditions are marginal. If you're going to run your coax to the other side of a paddock, you might discover that your signal changes by a whole S point. But realistically, most of the time you're not going to notice. Similarly, and perhaps more importantly, in the scheme of things, your antenna is also just fiddling around the edges when compared to the path loss of 129 dB. For example, if you double your antenna gain, you're only seeing an improvement of half an S point, and most likely you won't actually notice. Before you grab the nearest chicken to pluck feathers to come after me with, I'd like to point out that each element on their own has a minimal impact on the total system. But that doesn't mean that improving your station is useless. Far from it. If you use quality coax, have an antenna that is performing well, is a good match to your transmitter and coax, use appropriate filters and pre-amplification, you're likely to make more contacts more often. But the bottom line is that you actually need to be on air to make noise, and ultimately that's going to represent the biggest improvement in your station performance. Case in point, the other day my Whisper or weak signal reporter beacon with 10 dBm output was reported 7,808 kilometres away by Delta Papa Zero Golf Victor November, the club station of the German Antarctic Research Station Neumayer 3 in Dronningmaudland, Antarctica. A first for me. Whisper reported that as a signal of minus 26 dB. Previously, I proved that when Whisper reports minus 31 dB, about 75% of decodes are successful. In other words, we can think of my report as being 5 dB above the minimum decode level. This is interesting for several reasons, least of which is that a report of minus 26 dB doesn't appear to have a relationship to anything else, something which I've observed before. Looking further, if we use our notional 129 dB loss figure and start at the beacon power of 10 dBm, we end up at minus 119 dBm, which is between S1 and S2. In reality, the path loss for that contact is more likely to be in the order of 10 dB worse, making the signal at the receiver minus 129 dBm, or around S0. In those kinds of marginal conditions where there's 5 dB between being heard and not, finding an extra dB or two in better coax or antenna is absolutely worth the investment. But if you're in a contest making points, you're not going to care. Being on the right band, pointing in the right direction, and being on air making contacts is going to be much more important. That said, I'll leave you with a question. Given our obsession with antennas, what might the impact be of adding an 18 dBi Yagi to your station? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is Roger Harrison, VK20H, Editor-in-Chief of Amateur Radio Magazine, Journal of the Wireless Institute of Australia. In the event you've not heard, this month's Amateur Radio Magazine celebrates 90 years of continuous publication. To mark this milestone, on air, we have obtained a special event call sign, VK90AR, with which to get on the bands and make some noise. The call sign is for use by any member of the WIA as well as any affiliated club. Getting to use VK90AR is a simple process. Apply on the WIA website, online event calendar, where you can book a roster to suit yourself. If you already know where that is, go straight there. Otherwise, look up the news item featured prominently on the WIA website homepage. VK90AR expires on 31 December 2023. So, get online, book a roster, and don't mess out. That's it from me. I'm Roger Harrison, VK2ZRH.
This is NewsWest from VK6ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Good morning, listeners. This is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's helpline for the 15th of October, 2023. Do they have remaining items from Don, VK6 Uniform Tango's deceased estate? He has a 13.8 volt, 20 amp power supply, DC supply, and that's $100 for that. There's a Bush radio, EU35. With spare Magic Eye tuner. It's 1955 vintage. It does work still. $200 for that. You have a Pioneer Dynamotor, Jenny Motor. It's 18 volts input. And output is 450 volts. There's another one with a 12 volt input to 250 volts output. There's a small motor, half horsepower, 1 horsepower electric motor is $30 each. All under a offer. There's a typewriter, Brother AX325 electronic with keyboard and cover and manual, some accessories with that. There's also a compressor, a VSWR power meter. There's radio electronics power supply, Codan 7113. It's a 13.8 volt power supply. Power supply, a Lima Bravo Romeo 800. I don't know what make that is, but what voltage. There's a voltage regulator, 250 volts possibly. Several whip antennas, TV antennas, ADRL handbooks, etc. Yagi antenna, three handheld ICOM radios. There's ICOM IC2 Echo or something or other, 144 meg transceiver handheld. There's a whole lot of stuff here. In fact, a wind meter and instruction, rectifiers, RF meters, transformer step down 250 to 110 volt. Variable transistors, I don't know what that means. A meter, Heath kit. There's a 40 meg digital frequency counter, FT101 instruction manual. Lots of instruction manuals for HF transceivers. Also FT301, IC706, Mark II and Mark IIG. And AT120 trio antenna tuning manual. 200 SWR meter and miscellaneous Sony tape recordings. There's far too much stuff to go through individual items, so have to look on the email or the website. There's worth a look though, so get down to Atterdale. And that's about all I can give you there on that. That's from Stephen, VK6 Uniform Tango, deceased estate in Atterdale. And you may contact him if I can find the number. Oh, it's 1B Stock Road, Atterdale, WA, if you want to go and have a look there. There's also World War One books, World War Two books. There's all sorts of stuff there. Might be worth a look through. There's a lot of old equipment from Don, VK6 Uniform Tango. And Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, still has a amplified desk microphone and a linear amplifier, Hotel Tango 33 for sale, requires 1.5 to 2 kilovolt power supply, but it has filament and transformer on the main unit, and $250 for that. It also has a classic immaculate condition radio, vintage radio, works well. That's Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, and has a driver controller, antenna controller and rotator, and a vacuum tuned voltmeter as well. May contact Barry, bravo.juliet.burns@bigpond.com. That's bravo.juliet.bravo.uniform.romeo.november.sierra@bigpond.com, or mobile 0428 959 771, 0428 959 771. Mark may still be looking for a antenna analyzer such as a Big Rig or other brands, not a Nano VNA. He may be contacted at VK6BravoSierraAlpha@gmail.com. VK6BravoSierraAlpha@gmail.com. That's it. VK6XRayVictor. Roy.Watkins@BigPond.com is my email address. Roy, that's Romeo Oscar Yankee, .Watkins, WATKINS, @BigPond.com. 7-3 till we meet again.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident. Or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.